Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God has created us in His own likeness and image, and there is no failure in Him. There is no defeat in Him. There is no lack in Him. There is no darkness, no death in Him. And we've been made in His image. So we're not made to flop around and be depressed and fail and be defeated. Right. We're supposed to be a light in this dark world. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's so much evil and bad, and sin and curse, that when we come around, we ought to be a spiritual breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Is that right? We people ought to go, all right. They're not going to come and cry and complain. They're going to come and tell us something good, right? They're going to build us up,
yes,
not tear us down.
Right.
Give us hope, not take it away.
Yes.
So that's why we have Faith School, to get charged up and built up so we can go out and be a builder up.
Yes.
Father, we all of us open our hearts and minds and beings to You, and we say, fill us up and quicken us and renew us and refresh us and strengthen us in every good thing. Strengthen us with strength by Your Spirit in our inner man. Fill us with the knowledge of Your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Quicken us by Your Holy Spirit. Show us what we haven't seen. Add to us what we need. And we give You the praise and thanks and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a believer, to be in the family of God, and
yes,
to know Him, and that He knows us, and
yes,
He calls us by name, and
yes,
has us, our name, in the citizenship roster of heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're working on our place,
yes,
our places,
yes,
right now. Getting them ready for us to come. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so until then, in this very, very short life that we have, we got a job to do.
Yes.
And it's not to lay around and be lazy and feel sorry for ourselves.
Mm.
It's to be useful to Him and be blessed and be a blessing.
Amen.
And be a light. And you can't do that without faith. Every day in this dark world we live in, you'll be tempted to be negative or to, you know, act depressed, or you'll be tempted. You'll feel it. It's all around you. And so it takes courage and strength to stand up against that and resist that and say, no, I'm not going to be full of fear today.
That's right.
No. I'm not going to sit around, lay around, worry,
right,
and expect bad things. I'm not. But you, unless you make an effort, you will be. You'll be conformed to the world. And the Bible said, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed,
amen,
by the renewing of your mind,
amen,
so that you can know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen by hearing God's words, being in His presence, being around His light and His vision, coming to find who He is, what His will and plan is. That will change your thinking.
Yes.
It will change how you see things, how you perceive and hear and speak and respond. And so that's why we start off and say, my spirit's being fed, my faith is growing, and I'm learning how to be a what?
Overcomer.
Instead of a whiny baby. No whiny babies. in Faith School. Is that right? No whiny babies. No. Now, if you feel like a whiny baby, we understand, but we're not going to be a whiny baby. Come on in. This is the not the whiny baby seat. Come in. This is the overcomer seat that we save for you. So bring yourself in, and let's get built up today. We have been on a series for a number of weeks now called Faith for Provision, going over one by one 30 reasons in Scripture why we are sure, abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say it out loud? Abundant provision
is always
God's will for us all. Say it again. Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
Now that's a big statement. It's an all-inclusive statement. So the question is, how can we make such a statement? Well, because of hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. We've been giving multiple scriptures for every one of these reasons, not just thoughts or opinions or theories, but thus saith the Lord. And if the word doesn't settle it for you, then you lack respect for God. You don't honor Him and His word. When He tells you something, you should not have to say, I have to think about it. Well, and you're saying, well, you know, to decide whether I believe that or not. That's disrespectful. You think you know more than Him? If He says it, you don't even have to wait till He finishes the sentence. Is that right? You can say, I believe it. If you say it, right? It's about who's talking.
Yes.
It's about who's speaking. If He says it, we believe it. And that's it. Well, He has said many, many things that would cause us to make this statement that abundant provision is always His will for us all. Many, many things. And if you haven't been with us, go online. Go to faithschool.org. And there are hundreds of previous faith lessons and a bunch of the, you know, all the previous ones on this series, Faith for Provision. We're up to reason number 19, I guess it is, in our study now of 30. And reason number 19 is this. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the tabernacle. The tabernacle. Go with me to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and let's continue looking at this. Now, there are two structures that God gave direction to build for Him that we have recorded in Scripture. It was the tabernacle, which was a portable sanctuary. You could break it down and carry it to another place, set it up like a tent, like, but big tent. And then Moses was the one that got the directions for that and oversaw the construction of that. And then much later, David, King David, got the instructions for building the temple, and his son Solomon oversaw building that. And they were both built to God's exact specifications and directions. He told His prophets, His king, prophet, what it was to be, exact dimensions, how it was to be laid out, and the exact materials that it was to be built with. Now, a lot of folks have kind of ignored this and not paid much attention to this, but there is a large amount of Scripture devoted to this. I mean, on the order of, depending on what you're counting and including, 40 chapters of information and instruction about this. Well, that's a lot,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's a whole lot. So why so much information about a tabernacle and a temple? Well, anything God says is important. And anything He keeps saying, keeps bringing up, and we should give it our attention and our time to find out why. Well, it's talked about in the New Testament, in Hebrews 8. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse 1. The things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. He said, we have such a high priest, and this is referring to Jesus, who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now here, the Holy Spirit and the human instrument writing this is assuming you know about these, you know, big number of chapters I just referred to of the construction and giving of the tabernacle. And he says, every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi. So under the law, he wouldn't have been a priest or a Levite. He was of the tribe of, anybody know?
Judah.
You know, loud praising bunch.
How tragic.
Turn their music up. But he is, Jesus is our high priest, our final high priest.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he did not appoint himself to this position. The Father appointed him as our high priest. And verse 5 says, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, which is what we're talking about. This is our 19th point. For see, saith he, this is God talking to Moses, and he tells Moses, see, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. And this same language was used from God to David. David said, the hand of the Lord came on me. And he wrote out and drew out the schematics or whatever, we might call them blueprints, but whatever for the temple. And Moses did. God gave it directly to Moses for the tabernacle. And you'll find God is not a whatever God.
That's right.
Anybody know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Let's do something. What are we going to do? Whatever. Just do whatever you want. He's never been that way. He never will be that way. And I know sometimes people have been taken aback when they came to us to join in our churches and our things because we wouldn't just let them do things just any way they wanted to do it. And they act shocked that they actually ran into some leadership. Well, what's because a lot of people are used to pastors and leaders just letting them do whatever they want to do, because a lot of times the leaders are afraid of saying anything directive to them lest they get upset and mad and leave. And a lot of people do. But God's not that way. I said He's not that way. He doesn't say do it whatever you want to do or do it ever how the way you want to do it. No, He is very, very specific, precise. And He wants you to seek Him. I had somebody in the early days of the church, is actually singers and players. And we were so glad to get them because we had nobody. And we were just, I know this is just like the first 2 and 3 weeks, first month of our church, our new church in Branson. And at one point they were coming to me. The one that was leading the group said, can we do this? I said, no. And they said, well, okay. And so they came back a little bit later. Can we do this? Can we do that? I said, no. And what they didn't know is just a couple of weeks before that, in a time of prayer, the Lord had spoken to me. And he said, "Keith, if you're always giving in to everybody around here, who's running this? Who's leading this?" I said, "Well, then it wouldn't be me." Right? Who's leading it? And so they didn't. And he said, "And who's going to be responsible for this later?" He said, "I could have given it to anybody that I wanted to." And so because that was fresh on my mind, I was pretty quick to say no. I was like, unless the Lord had dealt with me about it. But that they didn't like that. And at one point, one of them said, "Well, surely you'll let us do this." And I said, no, let's not do that. And they said, "Well, we're going to leave." And I said, "Well, you don't have to leave." And they all did, the whole group. I had to lead music myself the next Sunday and even do some of the music. But, they thought God's that way. God just lets you do anything you want to. Because every church they had been in and every pastor that they had dealt with was just so happy that somebody was there to do it that they wouldn't dare give them any direction. That's not leadership. Y'all okay or not? That's not leadership. And not talking about being harsh or hard with people. It's just God appoints folks to lead. And these people should be in charge. Actually. Huh?
Yes.
And it requires something of you as leadership. You're supposed to seek God.
Yes.
Find out what to do. And see, that's what Moses got, all the detail. They weren't wondering, where does this go? How do we fit this? They weren't through the building process having to stop and go, "Well, let's pick out what colors we want." No, God already told them what color. "Well, let's pick out what materials." Should we make this a few feet wider? You don't touch it. You do it exactly the way he said to do it. Why? Because you cannot come up with a better plan than you may think you did, but you'd find out that you were wrong. And so, why so much given to this? Skip over to the ninth chapter, Hebrews 9 and verse 1. He says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary." You could also say earthly, because the Bible uses the word worldly to mean ungodly, and this is obviously not ungodly. This was a physical earthly sanctuary. "For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was a candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always to the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But to the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time present." Did you see that term, figure?
Yes.
A figure. It was an earthly representation, which is why it was so important to get the detail right, of the actual temple in heaven. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is a temple in heaven. And these things that he had made are representations and figures of what exists in heaven. So it's no wonder that there's so much detail given, and how that it was what we just got through reading. The Lord on that mountain, at one point, he stopped and looked at Moses and said, "See to it. that you do it just this way, according to exactly what I showed you. Wonder if he's still that way. Wonder if God, Wonder if God is still that way. Which is wonderful, though, because one of the most, fatiguing, tiring, frustrating things there is not knowing. Right? What do we do? How do we do it? You know? And if you think, well, anything goes, it's just whatever you want to do, you're not going to get free from the torture of not being sure. Right? And that's why people wind up doing things and changing it 100 times and redoing it and redoing it. Why? Because somebody didn't pray to start with. Y'all okay or not? Somebody didn't pray. Now, all any of us can miss it and need to make a correction, but we're not supposed to just start off to go, what are we going to do? Well, I'll just do whatever I want to do. No, that is not step one. Step one is go to the Lord. Is that right?
Yes.
Inquire of the Lord. Yes. Ask the Lord. First of all, should we even be doing it? I'm serious. Should we even be doing it? Because sometimes people have just got on the track something they want to do, and the Lord never told them to do it. And that's why if you persist in it, you will waste money, you will waste time, you will have problems. Why? The Lord never told you to do it. Well, it needs to be done. That doesn't mean he told you to do it. He has other people besides you. Right? No. It is so important every day of our lives to be led and directed by His Spirit. Proverbs said, in all your ways. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and what? He shall direct your paths. What does that mean? He'll say, don't go there. Go here. Right? No, don't do it that way. Do it this way. And then once you've heard from Him, oh, what relief. I don't have to keep guessing. Thinking, wondering, changing. We just do it His way.
Amen.
Makes it easy.
Yes.
Makes it, you know, peaceful, joyful. And so he's saying these things are a figure. This whole tabernacle thing is a figure. He said it stood in foods and drinks and washings and carnal or natural ordinances imposed on them till the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. So everything you see in the tabernacle, you are learning about God. You are learning about heaven. You are learning about redemption, every part of it. And God doesn't just leave us with abstracts. He said, build them something they can see. Right? God, He knows us, and He knows how we can connect things and understand things. And so he said, Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that's the one in heaven, that the one on earth was a model of. He said, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. It was built by somebody, it was built by God, but not with human hands. No human hands involved in this one. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. And see, all those years that the high priests were offering the sacrifice and then going into the Holy of Holies with the blood, every year they did that. And for all those decades and all that time, they were physically preaching redemption. They were physically demonstrating the one who would come and shed His own blood.
Amen.
And act as high priest himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And bring blood that could actually cleanse from sin.
Amen.
The blood of animals could never do that. All they could do was cover it until next year. But the blood of Christ doesn't cover our sin. So it could be found again or uncovered or need to be covered continually again. The blood of Christ purges us,
Amen.
Cleanses us,
yes.
washes us from sin so that no sin remains.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And the more we understand the tabernacle and what it was and how it operated, and then the temple also, the more we'll understand about redemption. There's so much there that we have not taken advantage of. We've not thought about it or talked about it. Or, you know, a lot of people don't think it's important or relevant anymore. It is.
Yes.
I'm reading in the New Testament.
Yes.
And they're talking about the tabernacle. Right?
Right.
And so it is. It is. Some say it out loud. Father God, teach us.
Father God, teach us.
About redemption.
About
your holy tabernacle.
And your holy
temple. And that which is in heaven. Not made with human hands. And
about the offering of blood
sacrifice.
And redemption.
And the cleansing of sin. Open our eyes.
Our ears.
Our hearts.
Our minds.
To see the richness of it,
the
glory of it,
the
power of it, the
truth and light,
that we may honor it,
that we may
rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you
for hearing our prayers
and
granting us this revelation.
We
ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, get ready. Get ready to shout. Get ready to be excited.
Hallelujah.
Well, our time's up again. Goes by pretty quickly, doesn't it? Say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith.
I
walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.